Welcome to the International Teacher Podcast with your host, Matt the Family Guy, Kent the Cat Guy, Jacqueline from JP Mint, and Greg the Single Guy, bringing you episodes from around the world about the best kept secret in education. You got it, international teaching. Welcome to the show.
Hey, welcome to a very special edition of the ITP podcast. I am Kent the Cat Guy, and with me today is JP Mint coming to you from Mexico City. Good evening, JP Mint.
Good morning from the second mile high city, I think, after Denver. It's super awesome to be with you guys today.
And also with us is the single guy, Greg, coming to you live almost from right across the street. Give it up for the single guy, Greg.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Christmas it is.
And with luck, with a Christmas miracle, we'll have Matt the Family Guy dialing in. We'll cross our fingers. And if that doesn't work, JP Mint will do her very best imitation of him.
I will try.
As stated previously, today's episode, we don't have a special guest. We have the host of the ITP podcast, and we're talking international Christmas. Can I hear a woo-hoo for international Christmas?
Woo-hoo.
Woo-hoo. So I have my Christmas book right here. It's this tiny little Christmas ornament that I take out every year, and I write inside the year and the place that I had Christmas, because I realized I was going to start losing track, especially if I lose my marbles. I'm going to definitely lose track of where I spend Christmas. So that is my little Christmas book that I brought in.
What will you be writing in your Christmas book this year, JP?
This year, it is going to be a first entry of Querétaro, Central Mexico, with my mom and whoever else happens to drop by. I'm hosting, yet again, a singles Christmas. Anybody, singles or couples without kids, you know, tend to, when you're overseas and you don't have children, it will be nice to have a gathering. And so I am hosting a gathering at my house this year, and I'm hoping that I think I have about 7 RSVPs so far. So we're going to have turkey and open some gifts and watch some Christmas movies. And I already warned them, I'm going to be in my pajamas all day because that is my Christmas tradition. What are some of your Christmas traditions?
Oh, Greg, a single guy, what are Christmas traditions for you? Where are you going to write in your book this year? And what is your Christmas tradition?
Are you thinking of, I don't know, are you saying family traditions or Greg the single guy like overseas without his family type traditions?
Yeah, that last one.
The last one. So me like overseas on my own. The tradition is really go travel somewhere. You know, I don't put up a tree or anything. I have a little Lego Santa Claus. It's the only thing I put up. One year I put up a Pesmas tree in my 5th grade down in Honduras. That was all my Pez dispensers on a Christmas tree. The kids got a kick out of that. But I travel so much, I really don't have a lot of decorations, a lot of like meals or anything. It's just like enjoy who you're with, wherever you're with. That's my philosophy. And Christmas has been all over the world. Every year it's somewhere else and it's exciting. So yeah, thank you for asking.
I always know it's Christmas because I would say for the last 7 years, and in 2 different countries, I will add over the past 15 years, I play Santa Claus. I have no idea why. It could be because I'm loud and have a big belly, but other than that, I'm not sure what it is. But I'll tell you what, I just finished up last week making an appearance as Santa Claus. I got about 30, 40 kids and families gather around, and we sort of, you know, our listeners will know that the single guy and I live in a Muslim country. And so Christmas isn't this big outward display. Some of the houses in the neighborhood put up lights. We have a party at a local restaurant where Santa makes an appearance. And I will say this, that I get dressed in my Santa costume downstairs. And then I walk up the stairs, you know, where the kids are ringing the bells. But as I walk through the restaurants, it's really quite something. Many of the Muslims who live here are wishing me a Merry Christmas and getting their pictures taken with me as I walk by. So I will say this, that even though it's not a big celebration here in the country that we're in, I think people are everywhere in the world appreciate and enjoy the festivities that Christmas brings with it. My wife and I, we're pretty low key. We usually go out for a dinner. This year, we'll probably I'll take a little day trip or night trip to a surrounding country and enjoy a meal, maybe a night out. And it's just the two of us. We don't do anything too fancy. We just enjoy each other's company.
I've also worked in two Muslim countries. In Turkey, we just had the day off. And so the day before and the day after we were in school, if it didn't happen to hit upon a weekend. And then my next school in Muscat, Oman, we actually had 2 to 3 weeks off right around the Christmas and New Year's. So here's a question for both of you. Do you have the day off or the 2 days or 3 days leading up to it? So what are your breaks like?
So for the kids, every year, it's 2 to 3 weeks off. For the teachers, it's different. For the teachers, there are no official days off. You could spend your from your pool of vacation days, or if you choose, we continue to go into the quote-unquote office even when the kids are gone. And so there are many teachers who are working even on Christmas and New Year Day if they happen to fall during the regular work week. Now, this year, I had so many personal vacation days saved up. The school basically said, you got to take these. And so this year, I'm taking 18 days off. I'm taking 3 weeks off with no work, not even going into the office. Greg, what's your story like this year as far as vacation days?
I'm the same as you since we're at the same school, but our school is so vastly different than other international schools because we work for a company. And that's where you get that. He's talking about having days off without the kids. So our kids now are leaving on the 14th is the last day of school, and they don't come back till the 9th of January. We all work for companies, so if you choose to work all those days, you could. But I tell you what, Jacqueline, in the past, like other schools I've worked at, I've always had some at least a week off of Christmas or Christmas to New Year's at least. I think the 23rd was the latest I ever worked up into close to Christmas, but usually most of the schools have that Christmas break. They might call it winter break. You know, we don't call it Christmas break with our kids necessarily. We'll say winter break, winter holiday. And that's why I travel a lot too, is usually you have 1, 2, sometimes 3 weeks, depending on the year at different schools. So what about the last school you worked at, Jacqueline?
This one here that I had in Mexico was a 2 week break. Yeah. Cause it's as you can imagine, Mexico is very Christmas centric. I remember seeing Christmas decorations before Halloween, if you can imagine, here in Mexico. So it's a big, big deal. In fact, today marks the beginning of sort of that Christmas cheer, because today is the day that Mary became a saint. So December 12th is a huge day in Mexican culture. It's called Virgen de la Guadalupe. And what I've been seeing these last couple days are pilgrims walking on highways behind trucks with Mary, sort of a statue of Mary on the back of a truck with all the decorations, and then all the pilgrims following in behind that truck, walking or cycling, and just to honor the day that Mary became a saint. And then that goes all the way to January the 6th, which is the Magi. I'm not entirely sure what to call it, but it's the day I think the three wise kings made it to the Bethlehem.
So what does Christmas Eve and Christmas Day actually look like in Mexico?
So here, as far as I can tell, because I can't be an expert, I can't say that I'm an expert on it because I don't have a Mexican family or, you know, have been involved with Mexican traditions in that sense. But as far as I can tell is that Christmas Eve is the big day. Christmas Eve night, they have their big dinner and they open their gifts. And then Christmas Day is just a day to relax because it is usually the day off for most people. And they're just enjoying the day off and maybe being continuing to be with family. But Christmas Eve night, I remember in the sort of Latino culture, because my Brazilian friends also did a big party on Christmas Eve night in Turkey. So that's a big night. For myself, with my mother here, she just joined me a couple days ago here in Mexico City. We're going to spend Christmas together in Querétaro with some friends. And Christmas Day for us is the big deal. Christmas Eve night, we might walk around and kind of enjoy listening to all the parties going on in the neighborhood.
Mama Mint. Let's have a shout out for Mama Mint. There we go.
Yeah. JP Mint, great job getting your mom down there. I think that's great that she travels and you're picking her up.
I was super excited when she accepted my invitation because I said, any chance I could get you back in Mexico so that I don't have to go to Canada in the minus 11 degrees Celsius that it is right now. Right now, it's a beautiful 22 sunny degrees outside, and it didn't take much convincing to have her come down to Mexico.
Let me tell you about one of my favorite little Christmas excursions. Have either one of you done the European Christmas markets?
Ooh, German?
Yeah, German. Yes, yes, yes.
Very, very nice.
And for the ITP crowd, I bet many of our teachers who are working in and around Europe will have gone to some of the Christmas markets. But if you haven't, and it's kind of in your ability to get there, they're a ton of fun. And it's mostly a local thing. I mean, there are, of course, some tourists, but it's the locals who set up the shops. It's the locals who show up and have the meals and drink the mulled wine and shop for the presents.
Glühwein.
It's the Glühwein, yes. And there's usually some ice skating nearby. It's going to be cold and wet, sometimes snowy. But usually from the, you know, after the first trip, right about now till about the December 23rd is when these markets are in high gear. And the biggest ones are, I believe, in Germany, but there's others like probably Amsterdam, maybe the UK, some other of the countries. And they're just the best. We had the best time. My wife and I, we went to about four of them as we toured around the December in Europe. And we had just an awesome.
So, Greg, do you do Glühwein pure or Glühwein with the whiskey? Because there's one where they actually put in a little bit more alcohol than the red wine, and it is potent. That it knocks your socks off.
Well, I don't know. I have to sort of declare both, because what my experience was the last time I went to a German like Kreiskringelmarkt. In Germany, I think it might have even been with Matt Judd and his family. They came up to Munich, and we spent the Christmas together. It was so cool. And what I remember distinctly about that year was that I was drinking the Glühwein, and we went into this little pavilion, and there was this Jack Daniel's stand, and they had this white label on it. And I had never seen this kind of, I mean, I'm a Jack Daniels fan, but I had never seen that label before. And it was specifically only in Europe that they were trying it out. And they were trying to compete with the Glühwein and get it into their culture. So you could have like this hot whiskey and tea, I think it was. It was so delicious. I have to go back to the Glühwein. And I don't know when they started it, but you buy one, like it's like one touristy or memorable mug. And they just keep, you take the mug with you everywhere and, you know, throughout the market, at least in the market I was at. It was a local market, and you'd go through at night, carry your Glühwein with you in a mug, and then you'd get either a deposit back or you keep the mug as a memorabilia. So
I have three of those.
I love
that. Oh, so it's been around for a while? Yeah.
I have a little boot. I have a little boot that I take out. And then I have a couple of sort of just the round mugs. But yeah, I love those. They just bring back those great memories of kind of freezing, right? Especially if you're coming from the Middle East, or I was coming from Turkey at the time and also the Middle East. It's a very cold, wet outdoor temperature, and then but then that Glühwein just warms you up from the inside.
Kent, I bet you she has Lederhosen too.
Oh, I have a dirndl. No, I have a dirndl.
Yeah, that's
course.
The girl's version, right, of the Lederhosen, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. It's the dress. I bought that in Austria one year when I was living in Turkey, because we were going to Oktoberfest, and I said, oh, I have to get an original dirndl. So I got it fitted and not custom made per se.
You didn't make them out of like the curtains at the hotel?
Like Maria von Trapp. No, I did not.
Well, we went to a von Trapp concert. One Christmas Eve, we went to one of the Van Trapp's granddaughter. The Van Trapp from the story has a granddaughter, and we went, and she's a musician. And we went and saw her concert on Christmas Eve one year.
So, what are some of the traditional foods that you must have? So, you know, we have those three things you have to have in your international country when you're moving. What are the sort of three foods you need to make it feel like Christmas? Is there something like that in your traditions?
I can think of three right off the bat. I'll jump in here. For me, turkey or duck is a great sort of Christmassy dish. I would say the second thing is chestnuts, warmed up chestnuts. You guys, and you know, they do those at the Christmas markets too, where they cut them open, they fry them up. They're delicious. And the third thing is maybe a nice ice vine or something, a nice sort of glass of something seasonal. Lovely.
What about you, JP?
For me, I definitely need turkey. Having a ham, a glazed ham, or even, I don't know, roasted duck or roasted goose, or even some years it's been roasted chicken because I couldn't find turkey. But if I can get a nice roasted turkey, I'm really happy. We have this cheese in Canada. It comes in a red plastic container with a black top, and it's called Imperial Cheddar Cheese. And I think it's originally from the UK, but it might be something that's strictly Canadian. It's very sharp, and if you leave it out of the fridge, it's spreadable, but it's so good. So I feel like if I can't have an Imperial Cheese, I almost asked my mom to bring me some, but I was afraid that she would get stopped by customs for cheese or meat. So, and she told me, don't make me get stopped by customs. She did not want to have an ITP customs story.
I was going to say we could bring her on and she could tell the story.
And then I guess the third thing for me, and what makes it Christmas, although I don't eat it anymore, is plum pudding. So that's also a very UK traditional food that we've imported sort of into Canada, and my family has always had plum pudding that my stepfather would light on fire, you know, so he would put a little bit of rum on a silver platter with the plum pudding, and then he would put a match to it and walk in from the kitchen in the dark with this blue flaming plum pudding. And we always laughed because he would put mistletoe on the top, or holly, I guess it, holly on the top, and it would just burn to a crisp. It would light on fire. And it was like pyrotechnics a la Griswold, you know? So it was, that for us is the traditional food. This year in Mexico, I'm just going to go for that roasted turkey to make our tradition the same. Greg, what about you? Do you have a traditional food that feels like Christmas?
You know, I'll tell you the truth. I'd have to go back in my memories before becoming a teacher, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, for me, it's not about the meal. It's more just about the little vacation in between teaching. But most of my trips have been truly just dive trips over the last 20-some years. We'll talk a little bit later about foods that I've had on Christmas because they're bizarre. When I think of Christmas, I do think of Glühwein. I think of having a beer. And if I was to go back into family history, of course, it was usually going somewhere where we didn't necessarily have the right cutlery, you know, like a country club or something like that. And I have stories about that with family. But those are the memories that I have of cutting a turkey or something like that.
Mm.
But what about, let's do this. What about in your travels? What about Christmases that you've had, like food that you never expected to have on Christmas, or something, either something shocking or something story worthy? Anything like that for you guys?
Well, I'll tell you something shocking that I found out traveling through Europe during Christmas time is, well, the whole place shuts down about the 23rd. If you go out in many cities in Europe on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, hoping to find the fancy restaurants open, you're not gonna win that battle. The place shuts down. They close the restaurants. They close most of the stores. They spend the time with the family starting about Christmas Eve morning, going through Christmas Day. So I was pretty surprised. You know, I guess in the United States, there's a lot of places open that serve meals and things like that for the holidays. But in Europe, it's not so much the tradition. So that was one thing that shocked me. As for a shocking meal, you know, I don't have one that just jumps out at me. If I do, I'll throw that in.
Well, I remember one year I was in Korea. It was 1996, and my cousin was working on the other side of Seoul. I was on one side, and he was on the other, and it was a 2-hour subway ride to each other's place. And so I invited him for Christmas. We somehow got the day off, even though we were both working at language schools. And I had a roommate from Western Canada and Trinidad. She had mixed heritage. And so the three of us hosted kind of like our own Christmas. I was in my pajamas. That's my tradition. All day long, we heard all the rest of the world outside. Like the egg seller was chanting his egg song. The milk lady was chanting her milk song. So everybody was just carrying on like it was a regular day. But I insisted that we just close the door. We close the windows. We don't, you know, we don't look outside, and we have our own Christmas. So that day we had roasted chicken, and I tried to do all the regulars, you know, mashed potatoes that came out okay. Some of the different vegetables we tried, you know, to roast. And then finally I said, I'm going to make corn on the cob. And when my cousin saw it, he had been in Korea a little bit longer than I was. He said, have you ever had the Korean corn on the cob? I was like, no, what's it like? He said, you'll see. So I take a bite into it and almost lose my teeth because it was chicken feed corn. Like, it was such hard corn. This is not that lovely, you know, peaches and cream.
Iowa corn.
Not sweet corn, yeah.
It was awful. It was awful. And so we just laughed. Like, that was the sort of crazy chance to try and get something that was the same but was not the same. What about you, Greg? Have you had some crazy Christmas feasts?
Well, I'll go back to your statement about corn. I've reached, you know, that limit too. In South America, there was a lot of corn, but it wasn't always sweet corn that you'd get an ear of corn. It turned out to be that kind of feed corn. It's hard and it's not very sweet. It's the opposite of sweet corn, really. Okay, so when I think of Christmas, the one story I think of right away is I was with my friend Scott, his wife Tara, and their little four-month-old daughter, Elsie. We traveled to Guyana and Suriname, which is just to the east of Venezuela when we were living there. And we went for Christmas and New Year's. So we spent Christmas in Guyana and New Year's in Suriname. So and we hit Trinidad on the way. So you have to look at a map. It's sort of a weird travel. However, the Christmas morning, everything was closed, and we're at a bed and breakfast, and we go downstairs, and the lady was so wonderful. She invited us to have breakfast with them to celebrate the Christmas, and we go downstairs. There's like she and her family, and if I remember right, I don't remember what was really there, but I remember just eating the rolls because one of the main dishes was like a gelatinous kind of little, I don't know, it's like a puddle of gelatinous stuff inside of a bowl. And it turned out to be cow hoof that was melted down. And there was just very little on the table to eat. I remember being really extremely hungry. And I tasted it and it was absolutely horrible. Don't remember the name, but then I was just eating bread. And we tried to go to McDonald's, but it was closed. The whole country closed down that day. It's like this big sign, like, don't come in. And they were all with families, and there was nothing else going on. So very quiet Christmas day for that, and that cow hoof was crazy. The second thing that comes to mind is Venezuela, because, you know, in the States, we always make fun of fruitcake. Like, you bring the fruitcake, and everyone brings a fruitcake, and it's just one of those American things you see on a Christmas table. In Venezuela, it was a olive loaf, pan de jamón, and it was like
olive loaf sounds delicious.
Yeah, I was just thinking that sounds delicious.
It's like ham rolled up into a bread, and there's olives in it. Right? When I was dating somebody there, I just went to her family and brought like five of these things, and everybody's selling them on the roads, and I thought they were horrible. I guess I don't have these memories of wonderful Christmas dinners because I've had very few where I'm not diving and having, you know,
you did have melted cow hoof.
Melted cow hoof, exactly. I think Cambodia was another special time. I remember having green beans, and they had red ants on the green beans too, because in Cambodia they eat lots of different things. They eat water beetles and crickets, just like Thailand, people know about that. In Cambodia, they eat everything, every kind of bug. One Christmas, I remember green beans with little red ants, and they were trying to surprise me that they were on there. But those taste actually pretty good.
Sounds
so those
very
are my
festive.
Sort of wacky
green and
stories.
Red.
Yeah.
Green and red.
Green and red.
Christmas colors. Thank you, JP.
Wacky stories, yeah.
Well, we did. That reminds me, we did a Christmas in Cambodia. My parents came, they flew over from Canada to Thailand. And because this was their first time in Asia, I asked them, is there anything you really, really want to see? And my stepfather said he wanted to see Angkor Wat. And I said, you do realize that's not in Thailand. And so he was like, yeah, but it's close. So he was right. We just took a puddle jumper. We flew over to Cambodia for a couple days before Christmas and a couple days after Christmas. So we stayed about 4 or 5 days. Christmas Day, I reserved our Christmas dinner in an Irish pub, you know, so around the world, this is a great tip for our listeners. Around the world, you can usually find an Irish pub in the cities that you're visiting or living, and they will often have a Christmas dinner or some kind of feast, very traditional and a little bit pricey, you know, for whatever you normally would pay in that country for a meal, you're going to probably double that for this Christmas feast. But we really enjoyed our roasted turkey, mashed potatoes, you know, the whole fixings, but we're experiencing it with palm trees and what was the name of the beer? And it's not Lao beer. What is the beer in Cambodia?
Oh God, I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
You were
either.
In an Irish pub.
But we were drinking the local
beer.
It's called Angkor, actually. That's it. So yeah, we were drinking the local beer and then, but taking photos with these palm trees in the background and enjoying our roasted turkey meal.
All right, let's take a moment for a little commercial about how to get in touch with us. You can, of course, find all four of us at theitpexpat.com. That's www.itpexpat.com.
Or you could also find us at email at internationalteacherpodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Or if you're into Facebook, we have a new Facebook group at www.facebook.com/groups/ITP expat, where you can find all kinds of inside information about ITP expat.
You can also find us on Instagram at ITP expats. That's with an S. ITP expats is our handle.
All right, and thank you, listeners. We have over 100 countries represented by our listeners, and though we're not monetized, we are here for you, and we would like to thank all of you for listening. So let's get back to the show. Well, we need to hold off here and welcome one of the founding guys. Here he is, Matt, the Family Guy.
Matt the Family Guy jumping on.
In the middle of the party. I hope it's not too late.
Never too late, Matt.
We had a pre-bedtime crisis erupt and it needed a mostly inept father to jump in and save the day.
Kent, you need to stop interrupting, Matt. Matt, I apologize.
It's bedtime for
you. Oh, Sam, is he there? It's okay.
Oh, I can't hear what he says anyway, so.
We just have a special Kent button.
Oh. Okay. It's a cat button on the bottom of the screen.
Is he behind me? Well, let me move my window.
So I'm on my cell phone, and I've had to, like, split the screen, and now I can see all four of your faces.
Is he there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't
see him. Everybody's here.
Have I lost my mind?
Excellent.
All right, we'll take a moment here.
I'm very fragile, as you know.
I was going to say, Greg, I can only see you, and Jacqueline, I can only see you. I can't see Kent.
So, Matt, we've been talking about Christmas around the world, and we were talking about what are some of the unique experiences and unique Christmases that you've had. He mentioned, Greg mentioned Venezuela when he went to Suriname and French Guiana with Scott and family. It didn't sound like you were in that trip, but what are some of the unique Christmases you've had?
Well, some of the unique Christmases that I've had, I think, was one that stands out. It's just kind of boring, but we were over
overseas in the Middle East. Hold on one second. It appears I got kicked out here.
No, you're still in.
You're still on. And then Kent, you and Kent were sort of,
And so my my computer kind of conked out on me, and all of a sudden Kent's camera popped up. Kent, you're about 2 inches from the screen. So wasn't expecting that one.
I love that.
Gotta trim those nose hairs, Kent. It's like having a chat with my dad.
Wait till I take my shirt off, then you'll see your dad.
Yes. Oh, there we go. Kent might be the cat guy, but he's also known as daddy in some circles as well. sorry, Jacqueline, you were talking about Christmases and stuff like that. Geez, you kind of caught me off guard on this one. I don't really have any crazy Christmas stories other than that year, Greg, we were actually in Venezuela and we were due to go home right around Christmas time and they mysteriously lost our passports. And then proceeded to tell us, many of you probably won't get to go home for Christmas.
Oh, no!
And go on your breaks. And as you could imagine, that was really well received by the faculty. There were several meetings, and I'm guessing mutinies almost put off at that point.
Matt, was that one of the countries that, or one of the schools that would take your passport and hold on to it?
No, they had, well... originally had taken it to process some paperwork, but they were trying to process our work visas. And for whatever reason, they were gone a little longer than they were supposed to be. And I remember I was supposed to go to a conference around Thanksgiving. And they said, well, we can't find your passport. In Venezuela, really that means, well, we haven't paid the proper amount of money to the proper authority to release your passport back to us. Because the visa paperwork didn't go through. And so that carried on for several weeks. And I think the threat of crew mutiny and staff mutiny was enough to make the school go, okay, we better make these things reappear quickly. And that's one of my biggest Christmas memories, just thinking, well, I don't know how well received that would be on a lot of people's end, but for me, that's a deal breaker. I'm here, I'm putting in my time, and you're getting the best of me. And well, when it's time for our break, we get what we deserve. I mean, that's...
And you had probably already booked flights and everything?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We already had all that all ready to go. Wow. It ended up working out very last minute, like the last day. We had them in hand and we were ready to go. But I think moving forward, though, I think the school learned an important lesson because they never tried it again. So...
I think they sent a courier like by motorbike, like 5 hours to the capital just to bring it back the same day. We paid a lot of extra.
Yeah, like, that's exactly something
The cat guy here, if I could break protocol for a moment. Family Guy, it's been a while since the ITP crowd has heard from you. With permission from JP Minton and the single guy, maybe you can update the ITP crowd a little bit about what you've been up to and what the new year might have in store for you. We would love just to hear a little bit about you.
So it has been I've been hiding in the basement, by the way. There has been I don't think I've been on here in maybe a year and a half or something like that. At least
I can attest to that because I've been listening to the archives and it's been a long time since we've heard your voice.
Sure, sure. So I actually moved out of the education space per se. I moved out and I was actually able to make a transition into a larger company where I was working in leadership development and facilitation. So still a teacher in nature, just bigger kids, if you will, working and supporting learning with adults. And I did that about a year and a half ago. That has been a great transition. I mean, career-wise, it offered an opportunity to kind of branch out, expand my skill set. As you know, and some schools have generous professional development offerings, and unfortunately, part of our organization that we face is that's not one of them. It's despite the innumerable financial aspects, the PD is very low on the list, unfortunately. And it was either that or leave. I was able to make a transition about a year and a half ago into the adult learning space, and I've really enjoyed that. Greg, do you want me to keep going with the rest of this, even though it's not education related?
Yes. Yeah.
No, you're fine, dude. This is your show. You get to say what you want.
Our right. listeners want to hear this, Matt, I can tell you, because I do, and I've been listening to the episodes wondering where did
we
that
had a
go?
Guest just last week who we all showed up and he's like, well, where's the fourth one?
I'm back on here now. I'm back.
Now I get to say he's in the basement.
In the meantime, since I hadn't been on here, a lot of the reason that I didn't record with Greg and Kent was I was also finishing another master's degree in professional sports administration. I have aspirations of moving on to the professional sports space as well. Lately, that dream, it's progressing in a very positive fashion, a very positive manner. I've specifically been trying to break into professional baseball. I actually just got back from Nashville a few days ago. I went to Nashville, Tennessee for the Major League Baseball.
Oh my goodness, that is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if we're going to chase this dream, we're going to do it right. You know, aside from the master's degree, I've also taken several courses, for example, in scouting, in analytics, in what sorts of things you need to do to enhance player development. You know, just keeping and building my skill set, growing my network. Wanted to meet up with a lot of these professionals and former industry professionals that I've been taking these courses through. And in the meantime, trying to meet Major League Baseball executives and things like that. I'll just say I had a meeting with an incredibly high profile member of a front office for one very famous team. I don't want to go into any more depth than that. I don't want to shoot myself in the foot here. And also ended up meeting with another executive from another very well-known team and had two really productive meetings, and we'll see what goes from there. So
there might be a repatriation move in your future.
If it's the right team with the right position, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm in a great position now, career-wise, work with a great group of people. The work they do is tremendous as well. But when it comes to, I hate to say selfish, but when you're a teacher and, you know, I've been a teacher for 25 years and been doing it for everybody but myself, I feel like this is a career move that is for me. This is something I've always dreamt of. And honestly, I'm ready to make that transition. For being overseas 15 years as well, I'm starting to get a little antsy and thinking about going back, wanting to move.
Hey, Family Guy, your kids are getting older. And we were just wondering if is part of your career aspirations have to do with your kids getting older and where they're going to be in the next couple of years as well?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we had always had a goal set that we were going to stay here until our youngest was 5. Well, he's 6 and a half now and moving on towards 7. So we've kind of met that goal as well. But at the same time, when you're here, we say this is a great place to be if you're in baby jail. Okay. When you got little kids, little babies, you're not going anywhere or doing anything anyway. This is a great spot to be, you know, very family oriented. It's safe. You save a lot of money. But as your kids get older, they start to miss out on, I would say, opportunities. You know, for example, this is going to sound weird, but all the boys have really gotten into soccer and baseball. Now, for the record, for you parents out there, this isn't anything that I've pushed on the kids or anything like that. I haven't forced that on them. That's just something they've taken a liking to, and there's opportunities for them here to a certain age. And then past that point, then you have to look at either going back to a U.S. high school or a boarding school. With an oldest now that'll be 12 this summer, I mean, we're starting to get to that area. So yeah, there's some things we have to take into account in terms of what sorts of opportunities are available as well.
Plus, they'll kick anybody's ass in chess, too. That's the other thing.
And they'll let you know they're doing it the entire
That's
time.
That's how you know they're a Judd, buddy.
Yeah. Absolutely, 100%. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, what I've been up to lately. And I've basically been buried in books for the last 3 years trying to make this transition happen. And also kind of rebranching out on a new career at the same time. So that's why you haven't heard much from me lately. So you guys caught me on a great night.
Woo-hoo! We're all in awe.
Family Guy, what are you guys doing for Christmas this year?
Oh, Christmas. Great question. Actually, my wife and the boys, they're going to visit some friends in London for a week. So next week they'll be gone. I'm really going to miss them terribly. Wink, wink. So a little extra, a little extra time for Netflix and cereal and sports is never a bad thing. Oh, they're going to have a great time, I'm sure. But I've used all my time off from work.
If I'm wrong, but isn't the weather great right now?
Here, it's amazing. Every single day, the weather is, oh my gosh, it's incredible. And being on the beach, you can't beat it. So they're going to London. I'm staying here. And then we'll just hang out here for the holidays. This is the best time of year to be here. The camp clears out and it's a great spot to be.
I'm curious about New Year's plans. We've talked about Christmas now. What about New Year's?
Ooh, what about you guys? I have kids, so I don't do anything fun in New Year's.
Does anybody stay up till midnight?
Okay, I'll jump in. So we haven't made a plan yet, but maybe we'll go to one of the neighboring countries from us here and maybe join in one of those celebrations. My favorite New Year stories, and I have many New Years now that I'm the age that I am. We were in Greece, and we went out to a show in Greece, in Athens, about 10:30 at night, which is very late for me. And we get there, and there's no one there, and we thought, well, this must be a bust. Well, it turns out that the Greeks don't actually go out until after midnight. And so we're getting ready to go home. We bring in the new year. We've had a few rounds. And we think, well, maybe next year there'll be more people here. And now all the people are starting to come in. The old people are coming in. And they're bringing their own bottles. And they're bringing their own cartons of cigarettes. And they're ready to get the party started.
What about you, Greg? What are some memorable New Year's?
For me, and Matt knows this, so does Kent, I made a resolution before I left the United States that I would wake up in a new country every year. So that's the other reason I don't, you know, have these Christmas traditions I keep going. But every year I try to wake up in a new country, and it didn't work last year because my dad, 80-year-old guy, came and went to the Maldives, went diving with me, and my older brother visited. This year I'm going back to the U.S. and I'll probably be in Dubai for New Year's over at a layover in the Hard Rock Cafe drinking beer before I land back in the desert. Not much else. New Year's is really just so exciting. I could do another couple episodes of just New Year's activities. That would be fun. How about you, Jacqueline? What about New Year's?
One of the most memorable New Year's was when I had my best friend since we were 15 years old in math class. We met in math class and just fell in with each other. So we've been best friends since like 35 years. So her and her husband, Taran Tom, came over for Christmas in Muscat, Oman, and we went to Dubai for New Year's. So we reserved the hotel. We reserved the, I think it was a six, what is that called? Not rounds. The six dish.
Yeah.
Six course.
That's it. Six course menu.
So we had a story room.
I'm like, oh, six something. Six course menu. As you can imagine, Dubai will be kind of pricey, but we figured, you know, it's New Year's. This is the time to splurge. We all had a very bad cold. And so the three of us, and this was way, way before anything like COVID. So the three of us were miserable trying to taste these six courses, but none of us had taste buds. And it was just a bust. It was a bit of a bust. So when we left the restaurant, which was just in the Dubai Mall, if any of you are familiar with Dubai Mall, is huge. And there's some really great restaurants in there, even though it might sound like, wow, you went to a shopping center and had a New Year's dinner.
Hey, is this the one in the shadow of the Burj Khalifa? Kind of the pond is on the outside. Is that the mall? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that huge mall with the Bellagio style fountain, musical dancing fountain. Yeah. So we went to one of the fancy restaurants there, and we wanted to get back to our hotel because I purposely got a balcony facing the Burj Khalifa. So the largest tower,
world, right.
I think, in the world still. So we had the balcony facing that because there was going to be a pyrotechnic show. But little did I know that between Dubai Mall and walking distance to our hotel, there would be, approximately a million people in the street because they were all getting ready for the fireworks show and we could not get through. At that point, my heels were killing me. So I traded out my heels for my friend's black socks. Tom, thank you very much for the loaner. They were absolutely unusable by the end of the time that we walked back to the hotel. But we we're stuck in the crowd. And so we just looked up because you could see the Burj Khalifa from anywhere. And my best friend was behind me and Tom was to the next to me. And the three of us were just squished in this crowd of, approximately a million people. And we still talk about it to this day. It's one of the most memorable New Year's Eve that we've ever experienced.
Hey, Matt, what do you think about this? Jacqueline, if you take out the Burj Khalifa and the fact it's nighttime and there's fireworks and everyone's excited, it sounds like standing in line in a bank in Venezuela. You can't move anywhere. There's so many people around. You just want to get something.
It literally takes a year to get served. You're absolutely right, Greg.
Is that the bank or the bar? Yes.
So what was unusable by the end of the night? What was unusable at the end of the night? Was it the shoes? Was it your heels or the socks? That's what I want to know.
The black socks were absolutely unusable. No, the heels I was carrying with me. And so here I am in this glamorous white cocktail dress with my silver heels in hand, because they looked really good, but they weren't comfortable. And then black furry socks, men's socks, walking all the way back to the hotel. We didn't get to use the balcony that we had paid big bucks for to be able to watch the fireworks, because it was just a miscalculation of how much time it would take us to get from the restaurant to the balcony when there's a million people outside.
But you had no idea there would be this size of a crowd out there, did you? No idea.
We had no clue. No clue. So then the following year, as it turned out, the following year, my parents came for Christmas and New Year's, and we did a repeat. But what I learned from that first year, we actually got camping chairs, because at that point we drove to Dubai in my car. So we had our camping chairs and we had a picnic and we sat on the beach watching the Atlantis fireworks on the Palm, if you know about the Dubai Palm. And so you can see those Atlantis fireworks from the marina. So we stayed at a hotel in the marina and it was so much different. It was just really nice to sit on the beach, crack open a couple of drinks, and no crowds, no millions of people.
You know, I know that we talked about doing a New Year's special. Let's talk a little bit about our hopes and dreams and just plans for the new year coming up. Would that be okay if we went around the table and just said one thing about our new year? Matt, you've already talked a little bit about your the winter meeting and making connections. What's next for you kind of connecting with the sports world? Is there another event coming up in the new year that you might go to?
There's actually a couple. I'm looking at going to an event called Saber. It's kind of boring and geeky for people that don't know anything about it, but it's a baseball statistics and analytics conference. I get really into that sort of thing. And,
Hey, did that come up in that book, like Powerball, or the book about baseball? Was that about Saber too?
Yeah. So Sabermetrics is a statistical analysis of baseball. And so the Moneyball is what you're referring to. Yeah, money. No, you're thinking of the people that won the lotto. And
that's in my new year.
The numbers are 17, 32, 46, 82, and 1.
From mobile home to the mansion, back to the mobile home again. That's what you're thinking of right there. Yeah. So I got that coming up, and obviously just looking to keep moving toward the dream. So just keep the momentum going. We got great momentum now. Just got to keep it up.
Well, Matt, I know that JP Mint, Greg, and I and the entire ITP audience is rooting for you, and we want you to have the very best year coming up.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. What about you, Kent? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm going to listen. My dream for the new year involves the single guy, you know. And we recently talked about playing a little bit of music. We got another couple people nearby in the neighborhood who also kind of strum some instruments. So with luck in the new year, we'll have ourselves a little band playing a few tunes. We'll see how that goes.
There we go.
Did I spill the beans, single guy? Is that?
No, it just scared me because you said, yeah, well, my New Year dream is has to do with the New Year, the single guy. And I'm like,
is
oh,
it,
my God.
Is it a confession, a live confession on the air? Wouldn't that be the best, JP? That would be so romantic. Alive. Oh, my
the
God. It
is
real,
folks.
Romance to you romance.
You suspected it. It is real.
Oh,
you
my
heard
gosh.
It here, right
see
on
what
IPP.
You left me with, Matt?
You know, I knew there was a certain chemistry with you two.
Well, it was just the two of us for a while, you know.
There we go.
It was turn a blinking, Clark.
Not yet.
Greg, what are your big plans for 2024? Is there another book in you?
Well, no book. I think that the jazz is one of those things, like Kent was saying, we're trying to get a, not jazz, but the music group we're trying to get together. We met a guy that was my neighbor, and he just walks up one day and he's like, do you drink? Okay, you're coming over. Next thing I know, he's got his bass guitar out, and he's like, you play sax? Cool, we got a band. Also, and I'm like, well, I know Kent plays flute, and I'm like, how does that work? But all of a sudden, we're going to have a band, and we haven't really figured out the name yet, but I want to call it the Bacon Lover Combo. Not really sure about that, but yeah, we'll see. I miss music. I really do. That's the new year.
What about you, JP Mint?
Well, other than continuing to help teachers find their overseas positions, I'm kind of excited to add country number 52 to the list and visit Colombia for the first time.
Cool.
So yeah, we're
consulting.com.
So we're looking at taking a trip to Colombia, friends of mine and a fellow Colombian here in Mexico. And so I'm going to be reaching out to friends that live in Colombia, as well as reaching out to my friend Jaime, who has a hacienda, a coffee plantation, and see if he will rent me his house.
I love that.
So when are you looking to do that, JP Mint?
Definitely the spring. We're just looking if it's going to be March or April. I'm leaning more towards April because it gets quite hot here in Querétaro and central Mexico. Gets into the 30s. It'd be a good time to escape.
Sure, sure. Brilliant. And which cities are you thinking? Did I miss the city?
No, I we're just figuring out what the route would look like. I'm thinking maybe a week to 2 weeks, and I've never been, so I'd definitely like to see Bogota, Bucaramanga. I have a friend there who was an ITP guest a few months ago, I guess.
Excellent.
And then this plantation, wherever that happens to be. I just remember seeing a Facebook post from my friend with my friend Jaime on the donkey with the sombrero and the mountains, the background. And I said, you look so much like Juan Valdez right now.
I love
now.
It.
I could just see Kent in that picture. Kent on a donkey with a sombrero.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that experience because I haven't done much international travel for the last, I would say, 3 years since I moved from China.
Greg and Kent, I think you have your branding right there for your band.
That would look good. Now, am I the one on the horse or am I the horse? We'll debate that.
And a handful of bacon.
So I don't know about you guys, but I need to wrap this up because checkout from my hotel is coming up soon.
Oh, okay. Let's do this. Final words. Let's go around. Final words, and then we'll do the outro. Hey, Family Guy, you got any final words for the ITP crowd?
Yeah, final words for the ITP crowd. Well, you know, the holidays, I know a lot of people have already given notices to their schools, and I know that there's people now who realize that they're moving on from the schools that they're at. And this is now the time of year where you're starting to put those plans into place of where do I want to go? Where do I see myself? Some of you who are really eager to go have probably sent 35 letters and have gotten no responses. And just know that as you enter into this process now, you're entering into the home stretch. I know there's some big job fairs coming up fairly soon. I know there was one about a week and a half ago, I believe, in Thailand as well. And so just get yourselves ready. Get yourselves in the best position that you can to ensure that you're ready to attend these fairs and come out of them with a job that suits what you're after in terms of destination, country, school, position. Also have a willingness, though, to stretch your horizons a little bit. Sometimes you end up going places you didn't anticipate, and you end up with a much better experience than you had originally anticipated. So that season is heating up, and it gets here quickly. So get yourselves ready, and good luck to everybody who's starting to go down that path. And of course, reach out to us, obviously, if there's things you want to discuss. We've all been there. We've all done that. We've lived through it, and we can guide you through that as well.
You know what? I think let's make that the last word of our podcast. Would that be okay, Greg and JP Mint? Let's go ahead
Absolutely.
And do this outro. Hey, Matt, is there a place where the ITP crowd can follow your journey? You got any social media going?
No, I'll just stick with the ITP. The easiest way to get a hold of me is just through our common ITP channels. Greg's always really good about sharing those sorts of things and sharing fan mail and stuff like that.
So I want to thank Matt, the Family Guy, for making an appearance, and maybe we can convince him to come back real soon. Matt, thank you so much for your time. You can reach him at our Facebook page or our the Facebook page that you hear in the middle of the podcast. I want to thank JP Mint. You can get her at jpmintconsulting.com. Well, here's to a great new year for jpconsulting.com, jpmintconsulting.com. You can purchase the Single Guy's new book, International Education, The Best Kept Secret, from Amazon.com or wherever you buy your finer books. This is Kent the Cat Guy from Room 402 wishing you guys all a very Merry Christmas.
See you.
Bye, JP Mint. Love you, darling. Say hi to your mom for us.